We're doing the Drashot HaRamban. We're up to a section which really doesn't appear in the Mosad Arav Kook edition. To the best of my knowledge, it only appears in this edition, this Drashat Torat Hashem Tmima Hashlema VeMetukenet, the whole and fixed version of the Torat Hashem Tmima. And the Ramban has been going through the Torah, showing us the importance of Bereshis, the importance of the parts of the Torah, which one might think really don't teach us anything. And the Ramban discussed why we must know about creation and why the Torah tells us the genealogy and why the Torah tells us about the flood. And now, after the flood, we discussed Cham and Canaan and the description of their genealogy. And after all that, itchil betoledot Shem. The Torah begins telling us the genealogy of Shem, Nesapov Yichus Avraham Avinu. And the purpose is to tell us the genealogy, the Yichus of Avram, our patriarch. Lo'odia to make known Shayam in Hashor Shatov Be'emunah, that Avram came from good roots, the roots that were good with regard to their faith, their connection to God, and that is Shem. Yes.
We also came from a family of idol worshippers.
Well, I think that maybe the idea is the root, even though you're right, technically his father was an idol worshiper, but way back when he came from Shem, he didn't come from Canaan. For whatever that's worth, I don't know. It's a good point. You're saying at the end of the day, his father wasn't a pagan. And the Torah starts telling us everything that transpired in Avram's life, so that we know his greatness, that he stood up to 10 tests. Because it's good for the prophets that they write down the difficulties that the tzaddikim contended with in honor of their creator. We often live with this fairy tale, this fantasy outlook on life, that you do what's right, you reach a point of they lived happily ever after. And the Torah always tells us quite the contrary. You do what's right, so God says, good. There's more to get out of you. Now we'll make it more difficult. You didn't come to this world to rest. You came to this world to work. So to work means to realize your potential. Realizing our potential is contending with hardness, is growing in the face of hardships. That's what the Torah teaches us. That's why the Torah takes time to tell us about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, God appears to him after years of persecution. Years, the whole world is telling him, you're nuts. Don't you know? Everyone knows that God is the sun, God is the moon, you should worship this idol, that idol. The whole world is telling him he's crazy, including his parents. And Avram is on one side of the fence, they're on the other side of the fence. God doesn't say a word. God appears when he's 70 years old. God suddenly tells him what? Go to the land of Israel. He goes to the land of Israel. First time in world history there's a famine. Had to be now? God, I believed in you. You're running the world. He comes to the land of Israel, there's a famine. What does he do? He has to travel down to Egypt. He travels down to Egypt, and his wife is abducted. She's taken to be raped by Pharaoh. God, I believed in you. What's going on here? Avram doesn't say that. And so onward and onward. His life is a bunch of turmoils and difficulties, one after another. The war against the four kings, where he went thinking that he won't walk out of it alive. Time after time, his life is a series of tests. And the Torah records these tests, because that's a good thing, that we should know that the tzaddikim withstood the difficulties of life in honor of their creator. And then the Torah records the wages that God pays Avram and his offsprings. Because from the Torah's recording of these things, so people get aroused in honor of their creator, like our sages pointed out in the beginning of the fifth chapter of Avos. Avram was tested 10 tests, and he stood up to all of them. And that's the important point, that he stood up to them, and that teaches us, the future generations. When it comes to the 10 tests, there's a machlokas between, you have the Medrash Tehillim, Pirkei Rav Elazar, and Avos Rabbi Nosson. Everyone agrees, the first test was that in his youth, when he declared monotheism, they threw him into a burning furnace. Everyone agrees that was the first test. The verse doesn't overtly record this, but rather the verse says, God says, I took you out of Ul Kasdim, the fire of the Chaldeans. So God refers to the fact that he took Avram out of there, but on the other hand, God does not tell us overtly in the Torah the whole story that occurred. The simple understanding of the Torah is that Ur Kasdim means the valley of the Chaldeans, not necessarily the fiery furnace. Kmo al ken va'orin kavdu Hashem, just like the verse says, honor God in the valleys. Ve'lo yadati da'at Unklus, and he says, and when it comes to Unklus, I don't know what he means when he says me'ura from the fire. Ki ima yadato e'esh haya lo lomar minura. If Unklus meant like our sages that God took him out of the fire, he should have said minura, not me'ura. Vim dato bika haya lo lomar mimeshra. And if he meant to say like the pshat, he should have said from the valley, and he didn't. He said me'ura, which the Ramban says, I don't know how Unklus understands it. Umikol makom da'at rabotenu hu ha'emet. Nonetheless, says Unklus, our tradition is the truth. Mipnei shevadai hayta lo machloket gedola im Nimrod. He says, undoubtedly, Avram had a great argument with Nimrod v'anshei dora le'emunah, and the people of the generation over what one should believe in. Undoubtedly, what our sages said, that makes sense that that was the first test. That the whole world was arguing with him and saying, you're nuts. And he said, no, monotheism is right. And that must have been the first test. The fact that they threw him into a furnace, that's something we have on tradition. But the test that he's standing against the whole world, really, for a long time, that was the first test. Kmo shamu beperkam chelta spina, like the Talmud tells us in Baba Basra, or kmo shizkiru besevra kastim shizkati, and like the history books of the Chaldeans mention, that Avram was imprisoned for 10 years of his life because of his beliefs. And it was famous throughout the world that there's this one crazy person out in Kasdim, in Aram, who believes that there's one God in the world. And he was tortured, and he was put in jail. And with a miracle, he made it out of there. And that's what God means, I took you out of the Chaldean fire. And in the history books of the Chaldeans, they don't mention that God saved them from the fire, because they didn't believe in that miracle. They thought he did it with sorcery. So they preferred to hide it. So in the Chaldean history books, he says, even though they don't mention that part, that's because they had an interest in not mentioning that part. Their whole point was there was this nutcase out there, Avram. So they're not going to mention that Avram, God made a miracle on his behalf. And so too the Torah doesn't elaborate on this point. Like I explained when it came to the generation of Enosh, because in the Torah Moshe doesn't want to give a lot of time, to speak a lot about those that are wrong. So he didn't want to start talking about the arguments Avram had with his people. The Torah is not a work of logical arguments and proofs when it comes to the faith. The Torah is God's book for us, but the Torah's purpose is not to start telling us, well, these people believed this way and they were wrong because of that. And those people believed that way and they were wrong because of that. That's not the point of the Torah, so that's why the Torah doesn't elaborate about Avram and his arguments. But rather the Torah is intent on making the truth known with things that were seen, with miracles that were famous, and to make clean thoughts which are true, make them understood simply. Now, here there's a line in the Ramban that needs a lot of work. We could just say that the Ramban is using borrowed terminology, but the Ramban says Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to expand. Doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want. God doesn't want. Moshe authored the Torah verbatim the way God told him. So what does the Ramban mean? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to expand about things that are fallacious. What does the Ramban mean by that? I'm not sure. We could say that he means God doesn't want. But what can we do? He said Moshe doesn't want. So I'm not sure what to do with that line in the Ramban. And I think we'll pause at the end of this paragraph and we'll pick up next week. The Ramban is now going to spend the next few pages discussing the 10 tests of Abraham. So we'll just finish the first test, this paragraph. The Amar Harav and the Rambam, Maimonides, in the Guide to the Perplexed, and the Mor Nebuchim, Maimonides writes, Ki bevaday ayu bnei doro mechalfim unkalin oto. Undoubtedly, Avram's generation were cursing him out And that's why God had to tell Avram, whoever blesses you, I will bless. Why does God have to tell him that? Because there were a lot of people cursing him. So God said, those who curse you will fall, and those who bless you, I will bless. God was telling him, I know you contended for the last 70 years with people cursing you out because you believe in monotheism. Well, now, don't worry, I'm going to take care of things. And because he withstood all of this, and he withstood all of this, maintaining his state as a God-fearing person, we find that ultimately he was mashanu roim askamat rov haolam. We find most of the world agrees leromemoto litvech bishmo, to exalt Avraham Avinu, and they use his name as a form of blessing. So yeah, in Avraham's lifetime, half his lifetime, the world was cursing him out, but he withstood that, and he stood his ground, and he maintained his God-fearing stature, and ultimately he reached the point where today almost all the world agrees there was a great person named Avraham Avinu. Ve'en cholek alav, and there's no one that argues about Avraham. Umachish malato, no one denies his greatness. Zulati she'erot umot akasdim, the only exception, and this goes back to a question that people asked me about 5 years ago. They said, why do we find people in the Far East, they don't believe in Avraham? They don't talk about the things of the Torah. So the Ramban over here says, the only exception is those nations of the Kastim asher nisharu bikatzvei Hodu, that they're way out there in the area of Hodu, wherever that is, maybe that's India, somewhere in the Far East, they're the only ones that we find they don't talk about Avraham Avinu.
Wait, but aren't there religions based on his very children? Like, his kids went out east?
Yeah, but his kids went up there. His kids went up home.
So they lost, but presumably they would know their own.
I figure something that their big god over there, he rearranges letters. It's Avraham, it's the same letters as Avraham.
Okay. V'sof davar kol modeh be'elokim mitbarech. Ultimately, whoever admits to God's existence, ultimately they get blessed. But remember that key word, ultimately. Avram waited 70 years for the blessing. V'dayo le'eved liot kerabo, and the servant doesn't have to be any better than his master. The people took 26 generations to recognize God, right? So if Avram Avinu had to wait a period before the people recognized his greatness and before he was blessed, so God also says, I contend with the times when people don't recognize me as well.
Wait, 26
generations till the Torah.
I thought Moshe was 7 generations.